Welcome to MJ All Day. I'm your host, Dirty Diana. Okay, well, technically not Diana, it's Deanna. However, in this episode, I had the amazing opportunity to speak with Matt Surgot. Who is Matt, you ask? Matt danced with Mike on his video movie, His Story, in 95, and also went on tour with him in 98, flanking him during the Smooth Criminal performance. Check him out. So, I'm sitting here with Matt Surgot, who danced with MJ. Please tell us how you got the opportunity to actually audition, let alone dance for Michael Jackson.
Okay, so I actually had an audition in 1995. I had an agent, and they called me, and they told me that there was going to be an audition for Michael for a film short, for the history film short. It was the one where there was the marching soldiers and the helicopters and all that for the history album.
Right.
And so I actually went to that call, and they had us doing like isolations and stuff like that. And so I got the opportunity, I got hired for that, and that was in Budapest. And so I did that that was the first time I worked with him. Mm-hmm. And then the second time was, and years later in 1999, they had an audition for a tour overseas. It was only for, we went to Korea and Germany, and it was for What More Can I Give tour. And so they had that was a big cattle call. And so I went to that, and then ended up going on the road with him for that.
Oh, wow. Was that one of his last tours?
You know, it was close to one of the last ones, yeah. Because I know, obviously, he was, you know, preparing for This Is It later on. But I believe in between the one I did and This Is It, I believe that there was one other one.
Yeah, I think there was one.
Something else.
Yeah, I think he did one in 2001. Yes. If I'm not mistaken. So how did you get into dance?
So when I was a kid, I was a street dancer.
Mm-hmm.
And so I basically, you know, I grew up in the 80s, and I was always hanging out with the street dancers, and I had no training, and I was just like, I want to learn that, show me. And so I would hang out with them. And so I would learn stuff from the Breakers and the Poppers. And when I was in high school, I started doing shows. And I was always, I was really into like locking and popping and all that kind of stuff. And mm-hmm. then I started after high school, I got into technical dance. I went and got a scholarship. I grew up in San Diego, and I got scholarship down there. And I was taking jazz and ballet and all that stuff. And then I ended up moving to Los Angeles, and I got a scholarship at the Edge. And I trained there, and so that's how I got my start. But I did originally start out as a street dancer.
Oh, wow. So was it ever, did you ever have in mind, I want to one day dance for Michael Jackson? I grew up in the 80s too, so I think he was everywhere at that point, and everybody wanted to meet him or something. But was that like in the back of your mind, or was that just out of reach, you thought, at the time?
You know, it's funny you asked that, because actually, that was actually a goal of mine. What happened with me was I was in high school, and I remember, so first of all, there was Thriller. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it was just so great when I saw that, and I thought, this is fantastic. I would love to do something like that. And you know, like you said, Michael was so huge back then that it was like, gosh, I would love to work with someone like that. But the real pinnacle of it was I was on lunch, on my lunch break when I was in high school, and I was at a friend's house. And MTV was so popular back then, and they had MTV on, and Janet Jackson's Nasty video came on.
Right.
And I saw that, and I just thought, holy cow. Another Jackson doing her thing, and I mm-hmm. thought it was so great. And you know, I loved Thriller and I loved Nasty, and at that point I said to myself, I want to work with the Jackson, and I'm gonna work with the Jackson, and this is a goal of mine.
Oh wow, So for me, the I always tell people the best concert I've ever been to in my life, and I hate to say I was like dragged to the concert because I wasn't, I caught on to Janet really late. So somebody made me go to the concert, and it was the best concert of my life. I mean, I stood up from the time that she hit the floor. And this was before I was a fan. Like, I was a moderate fan. Like, I liked her stuff. But I wasn't, like, okay, y'all go to a concert kind of fan. But I stood up from the time that she hit the floor. And let me just correct that. From the time that the dancers hit the floor until the lights went down. It was the best concert, bar none, so far that I've ever gone to.
Which concert was that?
This was, don't make me lie to you because I don't know the name of the concert, but she had a lot of her hits was out. So this was like, I would say like late 90s.
Oh, okay, so it might have been like Velvet Rope or the Janet Tour.
Yeah, I think it was, it might have been before Velvet Rope because she didn't pull the guy on stage. So it might have been before Velvet Rope, the one
yeah,
right
it was
before that.
The Janet Tour.
Yeah. So but it was really, really, really good. Because she had like this this circus kind of start to it.
Yeah, that was the Janet Tour.
Okay. All right. See, you're good. Yeah. So but it was it was absolutely the best show I have seen to date. Because unfortunately, I didn't go see a Michael. I didn't get opportunity to see any of his shows. So yeah, it was really, really good. So did you get a chance to dance with her as well?
I did not dance with Janet. Mm-hmm. But you know, like you were saying, you know, the Jacksons are the Jacksons, and mm-hmm. they're both. I mean, Michael and Janet were both such great performers, and they both put on great shows.
Absolutely. I mean, I think honestly, it's like the king and the queen when it comes to performance. And so you went straight to the top of the top of the top in my eyes when it comes to dancing for the ultimate person at that point. So,
yeah.
So did you get a chance to meet him personally, and how did that work? Like when you get on set and you're dancing for a person like that, like, is it, you have three people who talk to you and he doesn't have to talk to you, or how is that when you're, on the video set?
Well, when I did the first job for him, which was that film short in Budapest, mm-hmm. There was not a lot of us talking and interacting with him because there was a lot of they had hired a lot of people from Budapest to be soldiers, and then they hired some dancers, which I was a part of, in the front of the line to do stuff. And that was just, he came on the set, he did his thing, and that was it. And I remember at the end, he said, "Send the dancers to my trailer because I want to take an individual picture with each of them and meet them." And unfortunately we had, you know, time constraints and the lighting and all that stuff. And the director was, you know, we couldn't make that work. So, you know, that there was a lot of us, including myself, that were very disappointed because, you know, that was my first time working with him. And of course you want to meet him and take a picture with them and have a memento, you know?
Right.
So we were disappointed, and I thought, oh man, I got my opportunity that I'm not going to get to meet him again. I'm not going to get to ever really meet him, you know, one-on-one. Well, then when I got the tour, that was a totally different thing. And he came up to each of us after we had been rehearsing for a while, and he introduced himself and he shook our hands. And, you know, he was the way that he was on that job with him, the way he was with us was he was really into talking to us about how to perform and how you should feel when you were doing a movement and stuff like that. He would give a lot of personal notes to us.
Oh, wow.
And so that was a lot of the interactions that we had with him, was more on a professional level.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So when he's giving you personal notes because he's not a technically trained dancer.
Right.
But he's been dancing for years. When he's giving you these notes, like what, and he's telling you how to feel, how did it impact your dancing? Like, was it a situation where you knew like, okay, like this is the real deal, or, you know, was it a situation like, I don't know, where it's kind of peculiar because you have somebody telling you something that may not necessarily translate for you as a dancer?
Well, first of all, it was funny because everybody would really listen when he spoke because it was like, oh, that's Michael Jackson.
Right.
And, you know, there was people on that job, I have to say, that were crying when he, you know, because they were just so overwhelmed that they were working for the King of Pop.
Right.
So, you know, people were clearly... they want to know what he was going to tell us. But when he did talk to us about that type of stuff, he was very, like you said, it didn't come from a technical standpoint. He would say, when you guys feel, do this, you should feel it like this. And he would do it in front of you. And it was like a feeling that he was trying to get you to understand. Mm-hmm. The movement should come from a feeling. And in all reality, you know, it kind of was really impressive to me when I did work with him, because unlike a lot of other people that I had worked with, he came from the feeling of it, and he didn't learn. I mean, his stuff is so isolated that most dancers are counting that out, mm-hmm. you know, one and two, right. and three and four. And he didn't do that. I mean, I'm sure he could, but he would do it with sounds and just watch it and learn it. And he's sitting here singing and dancing at the same time when he didn't learn to count it all out. And I have to say, it's hard enough to do those things when you're counting it, but he was doing it a totally different way, which I don't learn that way. So mm-hmm. I was very impressed by that.
Wow. I've heard that he is really funny and he likes to play jokes and tricks on people. Were you privy to any of that?
I was not privy to any of that, but yes, I have heard about that. Yeah, that he does do that.
Oh, wow. So when you guys did your tour, had he had children at that point, or was this prior to him? I think prior to him having kids, right?
Or no, he actually had Prince at that point, and Prince was on the set. He would bring Prince to the set when I did the tour. He uh-huh. brought Prince on the set, and, you know, he would – I remember a few days where we were, I think, at – I want to say we were at the Universal lot or something over on Melrose in Hollywood. We were on a soundstage there, and I remember a few of those days he brought Prince, and he would give us notes, and then he would walk away and play with Prince, and then he would come back and give us notes, and he would play with Prince, and so I remember that very well.
Oh, wow. So of all the moments and the times that you've had working with him, what's the most memorable?
I think I would have to say probably when we – can't remember which – exactly where it was, if it was – Korea or Germany, I don't remember, but it was actually in the news. We did Earth Song. One of the numbers was Earth Song, and we had this really expensive mechanical bridge. I believe that it was like $1 million or something crazy, and the bridge would close. It would, you know, the bridge is open, each arm on each side of the stage is open, and then, you know, in the middle of the song, the bridge arms come together to make the bridge. And we all the dancers would walk across the bridge, and Michael's in the middle, and then we would walk back down onto the stage. Anyway, there was an accident because Michael had gotten on the stage. He had gotten onto the bridge and he was singing. And as the bridge was coming down, there was some sort of mechanical problem, and the bridge started to drop and it hit the ground, and he fell into the orchestra pit.
Oh, wow.
And I remember I was not on stage at the time. I was backstage waiting to make an entrance, and I saw all these people rushing the stage, and I thought, what's going on? And I didn't care about it till after the show, but, you know, it was on the news. My family knew about it. They called me from America, and they were like, oh, my God, we heard that the bridge, are you okay? Is Michael Jackson okay? But that happened, and Michael Jackson continued to sing. and continued. You see him on video pulling himself up out of the orchestra pit. And, you know, I don't think that he got hurt, or if he did, I think it was something really super minor. Mm-hmm. But I just, that was the one thing that I really never forgot when I worked with him, because the level of professionalism in that circumstance was impressive. You know, there's a mm-hmm. lot of people that I would say, I could name some people today, you know, that would be like, oh, well, you know, this and that isn't right, and I'm going to stop the show. Or, but, you know, he was a true professional. He kept going, and it was amazing. It was very inspiring. It made you look at yourself as a performer and think about things when you're on stage, you know, the show must go on kind of thing.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I just keep hearing that although that he definitely was the ultimate professional and the ultimate perfectionist. But even in that, that he was still kind and still nurturing. And certainly for him, the show must go on no matter what happens. Because we've seen all kind of, even with his hair catching on fire for the commercial and, you know, different things over the years that have happened during the shows, and he continued to push through and give a performance. Was there, okay, so we kind of talked about the infamous video in terms of Neverland. What I want to ask was there ever any time that you felt that there was anything going on, anything, you know, crazy or weird or anything?
No, never. I never felt that. I never got that from him. What I ended up leaving with from that job was, first of all, his incredible, you know, he was incredibly professional. I mean, he was such a showman. I remembered that. It made me a better performer. When I did other jobs, I thought, oh my gosh, you know, like, I feel so much bigger now as a performer after being on stage with him and experiencing that. So for me, that's what I took away from it. But also, I remember him being incredibly kind and very humble. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody that's that famous, it's easy to have a big head, and it's easy to think that, you know, everybody's catering to you. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't like that. I never got that from him. One of the biggest stars in the world that was very humble and very kind. And I remember also when we were also on the soundstage in Hollywood, we had finished our rehearsal and he was leaving the set, and I was on a payphone. No, it wasn't on my cell phone. I was in the hallway on a payphone. Uh-huh. And I'm standing there having a conversation with somebody, and I think all he had done is shook my hand at that point, but he had never had a conversation with me. And he's way across the room, and I see him waving, and I'm looking behind me as I'm on the phone, like, who's Michael Jackson waving at? And he's waving at me, and he says, "Bye, thank you so much. I really appreciate you." And I just thought to myself, what a kind person who's wow. very famous and doesn't need to be that kind, but he is.
Wow. Wow, that's huge. And you even said that when he met you for the first time, he introduced himself as if you wouldn't know who he was.
Right.
Already.
Yeah.
So how does that happen? How does Michael Jackson walk up and say, "I'm Michael"? I mean, how exactly does that happen? He puts the hand out on Michael Jackson. "I'm MJ." How does that happen? And what do you say in response to that?
Well, we were all on the set, and he came for the first time to see us, to see the numbers. And so the first thing he did was come on stage and introduce himself. But we were all in, I mean, everybody knew he was coming. And so all the dancers were like, you know, there was like giddy children in a line waiting. And so, you know, he's going down the line, and I don't actually really remember exactly what I don't think he said, "I'm Michael Jackson." I think he said, "Hi, I'm Michael," or "Hi," I don't remember. But I do know that he just went up to each of us and he shook our hands and looked in our eyes. And, you know, it just was genuine. It was, you know, you could tell that he appreciates performers. Mm-hmm. He appreciates artists.
Yeah, that's what I learned. We had the fortune of interviewing Michael Boogaloo Shrimp Chambers, who played Turbo in the movie Breakin'. And
I love him.
Yeah. So have you worked with him or have you met him?
I haven't never met him and I've never worked with him, but I'm a huge fan of the Breakin' movie. I've watched it so many times.
Oh,
that movie.
Yeah, you will have to listen to the podcast because I fangirl like crazy. Because me too, I looked at the movie and, you know, I told him I thought he was going to be my husband, all of that. So I really, yeah, it's embarrassing. But I was just so intrigued, like in the dance world. I don't know if you guys knew, but I know I didn't know that he was the one who actually taught him how to do the moonwalk, because I had heard for years it was someone else. In the dance world, had you guys understood that he was the one who actually taught Michael the moonwalk, or no? Or is your...
Well, there's probably a lot of people that know that, but I actually did not know that. I do know that I want to say Pop and Taco, or Pop and Pete, I think. I don't remember what exactly, which person, but I know that somebody had told me that was him teaching him how to pop back in the day. Mm-hmm. But I don't know about the moonwalk, but I bet you I'm probably one of the people that should know, but doesn't know. There's lots of people that do know.
Oh yeah. It was, I didn't know either. I thought maybe in the dance community, you guys were aware of it. I certainly wasn't. But it's a good interview. He actually takes us down through the years of his work with Michael, and he too said how humble and nice he was. So with all that's happened with him, what do you think his legacy should be in terms of Michael Jackson?
I think his legacy should be what he's done as a performer and an artist, because clearly the man has done things that no one else has done. And he's had, one of the best careers, if not the best career, you know, as a recording artist ever, you know, and as a performer. And I think that people can think whatever they want to think or believe whatever they want to believe. But at the end of the day, what was he doing? He was a performer. He was an artist, and he was an amazing one. And that's what I love to see. I love to watch that. I love to enjoy what he gave the world. It was incredible.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So after your time with Michael, who are some of the other people you performed with?
I went on tour briefly with Cher.
Mm-hmm.
Who else did I work with? A Latin artist named Cheyenne. I did a little bit of work with Ricky Martin, Aretha Franklin, Donna Summer. I did a lot of movies too. And I kind of had a very well-rounded career where I was doing commercial, stage, TV, video, tours. And I was happy about that because I always wanted to be versatile.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to say that I really enjoyed working with the artists, the recording artists, the most, you know, especially Michael is probably the best job of all the jobs I ever did, just because it was already so much my style.
Right.
I knew I was good at that style. That's why when I saw him and Janet on MTV in the early days, I said, I want to do that and I'm going to do that. And I had a lot of determination and confidence in that arena because I knew I could do it and I was good at that. And so I really enjoyed working with him, and I enjoyed working with recording artists in general. Mm-hmm. That was just, MTV was so groundbreaking, you know, with the way that they changed how the whole music industry was. You know, it's like, you remember back in the day, it was like if you had a good record, then that was going to make or break you. But then it became, if you didn't have a good video, remember there was like a time where if you didn't have a good video, were you going to do well? Because you had to have a slamming video.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, and I think that that's one thing that that's the other thing that I think that Michael is responsible for, because prior to him, it would just be a band playing the song on the video and that would be the video. But then he came out with actual stories in the video, and it became something totally different. You know, some people say he elevated, but I mean, just like seriously elevated the game when you look at like, you know, the different stories that he told via the videos, and it changed the landscape for everybody. People, you know, stopped just playing in front of a camera and really start to think along the lines of a story.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. So did you ever hear of you know, any feedback about your audition and maybe what Michael thought of the audition, or, you know, some of what you guys as dancers had done, or you particularly?
Yeah, actually. So I did hear when we had our audition, when I went to, I think it was the first day of rehearsal after I had gotten the job. Kenny Ortega was the director for that. And Kenny Ortega had worked with Michael a lot before, and Kenny was at the audition. And so he was choosing some of the dancers, and he came up to me and he said, and I had not worked with Kenny at that point. He came up to me and said, your audition was great. And he said, you were killing it. Your freestyle was great. And, so I did get feedback about my audition there, and I kind of knew when I was auditioning because I had a feeling that they were looking at me just because Lavelle Smith, the choreographer, was, you know, he kept walking around the room and he kept saying, you get this good, Matt Sergott, you get this good. And so it was like, okay, they're paying attention to me on this. But the thing, as far as like what Michael thought of us or what he thought of the cast. So it was, that was interesting because when we first were flying overseas to do the tour, I had asked, I think it was an assistant or somebody on the job, because I didn't know. I said, so I'm curious, did Michael pick us? Did he pick the dancers? Because all we knew at that point was that he was not at the audition. He was watching stuff from a tape at that point is what we had heard. And so I was curious. I said, did Michael pick us? And this assistant said, no, the choreographers did. And so I remember at that point, I was a little disappointed because I was like, oh, you mean the huge icon that I'm dancing for didn't pick me?
Right.
You know, you're kind of let down. And I was like, amazing experience, so happy to be here, but you're just always hoping that that person saw it. So long story short, I did the job, of course, it was amazing. And then many years later, I think it was actually last year or 2018, Lavelle Smith, who choreographed it, was he's a friend of mine on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And he called me up, and I had not talked to Lavelle for many years. And I was like looking at my phone, like, why is Lavelle calling me? So Lavelle just called me. He just was like, Matt Sergott, how are you? I see all your posts on Facebook and I wanted to talk to you. So we start talking and we start catching up, and I hadn't talked to him in such a long time. And he says to me, hey, I was curious, after all these years, you know, I never really talked to you. What was it like for you to work with Michael? And so I told him, of course, you know, I said, it was an amazing experience. One of the best experiences in my career, clearly. And so we were just chatting and stuff, and somehow we got onto the subject of Michael picking and liking the dancers. I don't remember how it led into that, but I found out something that was just so amazing for me as a dancer. He says to me, I said something like, because in Dangerous and Smooth Criminal, me, myself, and another dancer named Edgar Gugino, I think I'm saying his last name correctly, he was a black dancer. We flanked Michael throughout the entire number. And so Laval tells me, he says, we were talking about that, and he says, you know that Michael Jackson, I said, I thought that I Michael Jackson didn't pick us. And he says, what? No, he did. And he says, and you know, you and Edgar doing that bit in Dangerous and Smooth Criminal, he chose you guys. He picked you guys. And I said, what? I didn't know that. And he said, yeah, he did. And he loved you guys. And I'm sitting here going, what? After all these years, you know, I had never heard this before. And I'm like, really? And he says, yeah. And he says that he, I guess, according to Laval, he says, he said, you and Edgar were his dream team. And if he was going to dance between you guys, he was going to have to work harder. And I remember when Laval told me that, I was like, Laval, I said, stop saying that. That's not true. And he goes, no, he did say that. He really liked you guys a lot. And I just remember, you know, it was so weird to hear that so many years later. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
because as a dancer and as a performer, that's such an honor to be, you know, thought of that way from anybody on Michael Jackson's caliber. And so it was quite a cool thing to hear. And it was so many years later, but, you know, it was still such a compliment.
Yeah, that must be amazing to hear that. Even though it some time had passed since you danced for him and in hearing that information, I mean, I would have been over the moon. So, I mean, did you call anybody right away, or was it just like just a silent validation? What was it like?
I remember just thinking, wow, that's so cool, you know, and it felt great. But I did call a couple people. I think, I don't know if I called them right then and there, but I do remember telling them that, and they were like, what? That's so cool.
Yeah, I remember hearing, I think it was through Michael Boogaloo Shrimp saying that he always, like, chose the dancers. Like, he was heavily involved, which is why I think they videotaped you guys. And they would, if he wasn't there, they would send him the tape. And he would look through the tape. Like, he really was particular. So
yeah, That's true, and that's what basically, you know, Laval told me, because I said, well, he said, how do you think you got that spot there with Edgar? And I said, I don't know. I said, because, you know, a lot of my career, if I'm being real honest, was I got chosen for a lot of things because physically the way I looked. So I think that was a little more on a lot of gigs for me, the physical, my look, and then my talent after. And so I said, well, I thought that, you know, maybe I just was tall enough or I fit the part and the way I looked. And he said, yes. He goes, but he was real funny about the way he said it too. I think he said something like, but you know, he was cutting up the way he was saying it. He's like, you got to have some talent. Do you think you're going to be dancing off Michael Jackson's shoulder? And so it was just really funny the way he said it.
Right. So when you say physically the way you looked, what exactly is that in terms of dance? What was different that stood out that got you a lot of work, you think?
Well, for me, when I was dancing, you know, we had come out of the 80s and we're in the early 90s, and it was like a lot of dancers were a lot more, it was more about their bodies and the way they looked than it had ever been before. Mm-hmm. And so whenever I was doing jobs, you know, it was always like, I mean, I was in really good shape. And I think a lot of the dancers today, the guys, I mean, particularly I'm talking about the guys, they're in great shape. Like, they're going to be doing a movie as a superhero or something. Mm-hmm. And, you know, back when I was dancing, that was starting. That was like, you got to be in good shape, but it wasn't everybody. Now I feel like it's, well, I shouldn't really say that because Janet's got some different sized people on her tour and mm-hmm. it is changing now, but I feel like the last 10 years has really been a lot about really being ripped and really looking good. And so for me, that was always a thing. They always wanted, you know, Matt's going to have his shirt off. Matt, you know, like it was always okay. a thing with me.
Okay. So you were the body.
I was the body, you were the hottie with the body. Honest, sometimes it irritated me, but you know, I was like, hey, if it's a package, work it.
Right. I'm like, so you're the hottie with the body. And they okay, now I got it. Oh. And you, well, you're the hottie with the body, but you actually have the talent to back it up. Because there are a bunch of hotties with bodies that didn't have the talent. And they didn't get to dance next to Michael Jackson. So obviously you're the hottie with the body with the talent on top of it.
Well, I just remember that was, you know, something that I was told early on when I was even on scholarship was they said, you need to work out and you need to get a haircut. You need to tan. You need to do all of these things. And mm-hmm. I remembered, you know, okay, there's a lot of importance put on this and it is Los Angeles and you know absolutely. it's a little different I think in Los Angeles than maybe other cities.
Absolutely. I mean I think the industry as a whole you know it's a lot of focus on what you look like, so that makes sense. So now when you were called initially, because I don't know if we discussed this, but when you were called initially and told that you got the job, what did you do? And who did you tell?
Well, it's funny, actually, because I I cried.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember when I got the job, so what happened with me was I was doing I was already on another gig. I was doing this Disney gig for the El Capitan, that's this theater mm-hmm. on Sunset Boulevard in Hollywood where they – you know, do the Disney shows and they'll have a live show with it. Or they used to do that. I don't know if they still do. Mm-hmm. But anyway, they were doing The Little Mermaid. And so I got hired to be the prince in The Little Mermaid.
Aww.
So, yeah, so I'm doing this job. And I remember they had an audition for Michael. And so basically I missed rehearsal one day and I went to go audition. And then when... You know, and I remember that I was supposed to, like, I had always vowed that I would never wear a head in my career. Like, you know, I have to wear, like, a head of a character.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
Uh-huh. I'd always said, not that that's a bad thing, but for me, I just was like, I don't want to do that. And so I remember I was about to have to wear a head. And I said one day in rehearsal, I said, I don't want to wear that head. And then the next day I found out that I got Michael Jackson. So I made it just by my nose hairs that I didn't have to do that. But I remember, I didn't go to the audition. And when I did get the audition, when I did get the job, I cried and I thought to myself, you know, I remember being in college doing a number in college in a show to Smooth Criminal. Mm-hmm. And they're like, you're going to be doing Dangerous and Smooth Criminal and a few other numbers. And I just thought, this is so weird to watch him do a Smooth Criminal on television when I was younger. And now I'm going to be a part of that. And it's just one of those feelings that I think when a dancer gets a job with somebody that's very a big star or that's very iconic person, such as Michael Jackson, it's very validating to yourself, you know. And I'd worked really hard and struggled for a lot of years, and when you get that, it's sort of like the payoff. You just feel like I did it, I accomplished something really great that I really wanted to do, you know. And I that was a goal for me anyway, was to work with the Jackson.
Yeah, that seems like a full circle moment. If you're in college and you're doing a presentation in college and then all of a sudden you look over and he's there and you're dancing with them. That's incredible.
It was amazing.
Wow. Well, I definitely appreciate you sharing that with me. Yeah. Like I said, you guys got the opportunity to do what no one else, unfortunately, will be able to do. So we need all of your stories and anecdotes about your time with MJ. So I appreciate it.
Yeah, well, I loved to share my story because it was a great experience. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you. So you can check us out at MJAllDay.thepodcast on Facebook and MJAllDay-thepodcast on Twitter. You can also email me at dthevip@gmail.com. That's dthevip@gmail.com, and tell me all of your MJ stories.
Beneath the Eiffel Tower, in Ghana's Black Star Square, in Johannesburg and in Pittsburgh, in Birmingham, Alabama, and Birmingham, England, we are missing Michael. But we do know that we had him. And we are the world.